The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today we are celebrating the most marvelous thing ever, the best news that there could ever be, that our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we were made by God the Father, has come to us in love to die for our sins, to reconcile us back to God. He was crucified and killed, and on the third day he rose again from the dead to live forever. And he's at the right hand of God right now in heaven, ruling everything on our behalf until he comes again on the last day on the clouds of heaven to bring us the kingdom. So this is the most marvelous news ever. Again, I say, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What I'd like to talk with you about this morning for a few minutes is, but what does Jesus' resurrection mean for us? What does it mean for us personally? What does God do for us, give us, promise, prove to us by Jesus' rising again from the dead on the third day? Let's take a look at that together. What it means to us personally, what it does for us. And if we're going to do that, we have to first, I think, make sure that this is a historical event. That this rising again from the dead by Jesus really happened. And how would you do that? Well, if it's a court case, I will call witnesses forward. That stands in any human court. It stands in the court of heaven as well. And which witness would I call first? I'm going to call Paul to the stand. Paul says this to us. This is his testimony. He says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose in accordance with the Scriptures, and he appeared to me. So there's one witness, right? How many is that, Kevin? One so far. Paul goes on to say, and also he appeared to Cephas. Who's that? That's Peter. So that makes two. Then he appeared to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, says Paul. So how many witnesses do we have already testifying to the historical event of the resurrection of Christ?
514.
Yeah, 514 and plus, because it's more than 500 appeared. So we've got, that's a lot of witnesses. I'm not even halfway or even partway there. Eyewitness accounts to prove it's a historical event. On top of that, you could take the thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians that have lived down through the centuries in these last 2,000 years who've testified that Christ is alive and he's in our hearts and our lives are changed. I think about Billy Graham. Remember when he was asked, when he was a young guy and preaching very powerfully, he was asked one time, well, Graham, Billy, you seem very certain that this Jesus of yours is alive. How do you know? His answer was, well, I just spoke with him this morning. So there's another. We have witnesses down through the centuries. And the best witness of all would be who? The best witness of all for the historical event, the fact of the resurrection, is God himself. Because we read here in 1 John 5. It says, if we've received the testimony of men, which we do, right? The testimony of God is greater. So it's a better testimony. And he who says, for this is the testimony of God, that he's borne witness to his son. And then if you believe in the testimony, you have God's testimony living inside of yourself. Then he says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who has not the son of God, though, does not have life. So I'm assuming you're all Christians today. If anybody here be not a Christian, today is the day of salvation. Come and believe on him for salvation. That you, believing in the testimony of God, he's borne witness to his son, you too can enter into the blessed state of being an heir of the kingdom to heaven to come. So it is a historical event. If it were not a historical event, none of it would mean anything to us. But it being a historical event, it means everything to us. What does Jesus's rising again from the dead, about 2,000 years ago, mean for us personally today? Well, the first thing, as we think of it, is that if Jesus rose from the dead, which he did, that means to us that God must have accepted his sacrifice on the cross as a just payment for all of our crimes, all of our sins, all of our misdeeds, all of our wrongdoings that we've ever done. Because Jesus, remember, came and testified, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a, what? Ransom. A ransom for many. A ransom, what does that mean? That's where you pay a price to buy somebody out of bondage and slavery back into freedom. Christ testified he did that. If Christ was not raised from the dead, we'd be forever wondering, I wonder if God ever accepted that sacrifice. I wonder if my sins are really paid for. But the very fact that Christ was raised from the dead historically by God proves that God accepted that payment as just payment for all of our sins. Isn't this fantastic news? Think about that. What is harassing and troubling you today in terms of guilt? Come to Christ. It's been paid. Now, if you think of it, it's like we had a long ledger against us. Here's a receipt. Where do you think I got this receipt, by the way?
CVS,
obviously. These people, I don't know what they're thinking with money. I'm with paper and stuff. But I chose CVS because our ledger before God for our wrongs and our crimes is long. The misdeeds you'd have to pay, you had to pay them before God, are astronomical, like a CVS receipt and more. Think about this. If you can only sin once a day and you live to 70 years old, how many sins would you have to pay for before God? Do the math. 25,500 sins. That's if you sin just once a day. And I don't think we can sin just once a day. As an unbeliever, you're always sinning. And as I look around at you, I think some of you have surpassed the 70 mark. So think about how great of a debt we had to God. The Bible says in Psalm 49, it says, truly no man can ransom himself to God or pay to God the price of his life, that he should continue to live on forever and never see the pit. That is hell. But the psalm goes on and says, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And therefore, when Jesus rose from the dead, that proved that God accepted that payment as just payment for all of our crimes, misdeeds, and evils. And the debt is now written on it, paid in full. Is there anything troubling you today in guilt and shame? Come to Christ, believe on him, your debt is paid. The resurrection proves it. So we'll put that one over here. It's number one. Secondly, if Christ was raised from the dead, the second thing that proves to us and means to us as Christians is that every word that Jesus ever spoke was true, and you can rely on it. Because think about this. What's the opposite of truth? A lie. And if Jesus ever lied, what would that make Jesus? A liar. And if he's a liar, he's a sinner. And if he's a sinner, he wouldn't have got up from the grave on the third day. He would have had to have somebody else come and save him. But the very fact that Christ rose from the dead on the third day proves that he was not a sinner, which proves he's not a liar, which proves he spoke the truth, which means that every word in this book is true, and you can rely on it. So I brought my family Bible here at home, and from my backyard, a rock. You know, we did this on the beach this morning. If you are in the world, you are in a place of deception. It's like shifting sands, what you're going to believe on. But as Christians, because Christ was raised, You're now standing upon a rock that will never fail you. This word, every word of it is true. Every word that God has given to us. And let's consider some of those words. Jesus said to us, in terms of judgment, he says, I'm coming soon on the clouds of heaven. I'll sit on my glorious throne. God's fixed the day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness. So we're all going to appear before him to give an account of ourselves. And Jesus said of that judgment, every careless word you've ever uttered shall be brought into an accounting. Woo! Think about that. Every careless word that's come out of your lips shall be judged. He says, though, in terms of salvation in this book, that God so loved the world and he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life eternal. It also means that you believing on him, what did Jesus say to the woman in Luke 7 who was a sinner? Said, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. So will you accept these words today? These words are trustworthy, they're true, they are a rock upon which you can stand. God says as to your present, I'm with you always to the close of the age. And with respect to your future, the king is going to come and say, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And these words are trustworthy. Scripture cannot be broken. And one more, Proverbs 30 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. So the resurrection proves to us, secondly, if I may, I'll put it down here, that the word is reliable. It's a rock. The third thing that Jesus proves to us by rising from the dead on the third day is that our old ancient adversary, that foul fiend, the devil, who harasses and tries to destroy us, has indeed been thrown down. You know, he's an invisible enemy, isn't he? But you've all felt his attacks. You've all, the black arrow, you've all felt the poison tip of his lies and deceptions. And just turn on the news, look at the havoc and ruin he's working in the world. But the fact that Christ rose from the dead proves that the devil's power has been thrown down and can't touch a Christian. Christ came down from heaven to earth to cast the devil from earth down to hell. Jesus said, when he's coming to earth, remember he says, when he's going to the cross, he says, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has no power over me. And I go to cast out the ruler of this world. Christ broke the devil's power over us at his coming. And if you think of it, it says in Colossians chapter 2, God disarmed the principalities and powers. Who's that? Demons, right? He disarmed them in Christ, triumphing over them through him. Or you can also read it literally. Christ disarmed the principalities and powers, making a public example of them, triumphing over them through his cross. So as for the devil's arrow, down it goes, and you're set free. Think about the wonders of this. The devil can't touch you anymore, not spiritually, can't harm you. The one who was born of God, Jesus Christ, keeps you. The evil one can't touch you. Greater is he who is now in you than he who is in the world. Amen. And now you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. You conquer the devil, that ancient adversary. You're the winners. That's what the resurrection means for us. You have power in you if you but knew it and believed it. That is invincible. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us now from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, what a wonderful news. His resurrection means the devil's been thrown down. No more need to fear that old brute. He's been disarmed. All right, thirdly, it also means when Christ rose from the dead that the power and curse of death has been broken from off you. This is marvelous news. If you think about it, we were all under the veil of death. If you read Isaiah chapter 25 in the Old Testament, it says, the black veil of death was over all of us. Ever since the curse of Adam, when he sinned, Romans 5:12 says, death entered the world through one man, Adam, and death entered through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned. So is death over all of us? The curse of it was over all the world, says the scriptures. In fact, I'll cover my whole face here. That's what it looked like. We're all in death. I can see you. You can't see me. But it covered us all. A veil spread over all nations, a covering over all peoples, says the scriptures. Death. Christ came to conquer death. He rose from the grave on the third day to give eternal life to all who would put their trust in him. As by a man came death, that's Adam, by a man, Jesus Christ, has come the resurrection of the dead. Hebrews 2 says, since the children, that's us, share in flesh and blood, this kind of a body, Christ likewise partook of the same nature that we have, so that through death, his death, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Which means death no longer has power over the Christian. You believing on him will never die. Your body, yes. Your spirit, no. What did Jesus say to Martha, to Mary? I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die physically, yet shall he live spiritually. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The power of death can't touch you anymore because Christ is risen from the dead. When you die, what happens to you? Body into the earth. But Paul says, to die in my spirit is to be with Christ. And that's far better. Say the words far better.
Far better.
Therefore, we're of good courage. For when we go away from the body, we're at home with the Lord. So Christ has conquered death for us. His resurrection proves it. And then we got one more here, basically. That Christ's resurrection also proves to us that your bodies also, in Christ, will rise on the last day. For as by a man, Adam came death, by a man has come the resurrection of the dead. So I got flowers here and the picture of the lilies, because, you take a little seed, which is our bodies, you put it into the earth. It looks dead, right? It's just in the dirt. That's where we go when we die. But in the springtime, up pops the beautiful flowers, more glorious than that seed could have ever imagined it would be. Your bodies will be raised, according to his command, more glorious, more marvelous, more beautiful than we could have ever imagined. This Christ accomplished also through his resurrection and promised us. For John 6, verse 40, Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We wait for God's Son from heaven, who by his power will change us, and 1 John 3, to be like his own glorious body. What are we going to look like because Christ has been raised? We're going to look like him. When he comes, he'll transform us. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, it says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are in Christ shall be going up, those not in Christ shall go down. So be in Christ today. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, says Daniel. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And Jesus says, the sons of righteousness shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is what's promised us in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So let's review here. Paid in full all of your debts because he was raised. The Bible is 100% true and reliable because he was raised. The devil has been thrown down because he's raised. Death is conquered because he's been raised. And you too will rise from the dead on the last day because he's been raised. So I'd be remiss if I didn't say this one last thing. He also promises us on the last day to give us the kingdom to come. And what is that kingdom? A new heavens and a new earth. I bestow upon you, my people, at my coming, a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where you will dwell with me and rule with me royally, and that into eternity. Friends, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.